Greetings and salutations, listeners, and welcome to the long-lost edition of the Coco and Dalt podcast. I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Dalt.
And just so you might remember, we are people who do reviews of things. We're real people, and we do real reviews. Now, the way we're clever about that is we spell real differently in both of those instances.
There's different spellings for things?
Yes.
Wow.
One is spelt with a W, and one is spelt with a silent H.
Interesting.
Yes. So we are making an inauspicious return, Coco.
You're already telling them to lower their standards.
Yes, because I think they might have forgotten who we are.
Oh, yeah. That's true. It has been a year.
And they're like, Coco and Dalt, is this new and exciting? No, actually, we're on episode like 190 or something like that, aren't we? Like, we're way up there.
Yeah, we're pretty far up there.
And we decided we would come back because we went to do something today that we have not done in a long, long time. And Coco, did you want to take it from here?
I know you like it when I do the summary.
I love it.
Today, Dalt has seen several movies since the start of the pandemic. I have not.
Today, in the theater.
Yeah. Today, I made my long-awaited return to the theater by seeing Ridley Scott's Napoleon, a 2.5-hour-plus epic about not Napoleon Dynamite.
No.
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Or the dog. Wasn't there a dog named Napoleon in one of those?
Yeah, there might have been.
Dog detective shows?
I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Joaquin Phoenix plays Napoleon. Vanessa Kirby plays his one wife, Josephine.
His first wife.
Yeah, there's various other names in the movie, such as like Rupert Everett. He plays the Duke of Wellington, who you may know from Waterloo.
He's got a good sandwich, too, doesn't he? Isn't the Wellington a sandwich?
Beef Wellington.
Yeah, right.
Is that actually named after the Duke of Wellington?
I don't know. Isn't it?
Why not?
Yeah.
So the movie starts with the beheading of Marie Antoinette. And because this is about Napoleon, it dramatizes various events in Napoleon's career, such as obviously Waterloo, the Battle of Austerlitz. A heavy emphasis is placed on his relationship with Josephine.
Wait a minute. He was involved in the ABBA song?
I'm very upset that they did not score the ABBA song and play it as like a dirge over the battle scenes.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been pretty sweet.
Like really slow it down.
Yeah, totally. But alas.
Okay.
We see his exile to Elba. Then we see his exile to St. Helena. We see his Michael Corleone-esque death at the end where he falls out of a chair.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. He dies? I think you just spoiled it for all the listener.
Do we want to restart?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think some people might have not known that Napoleon dies.
So, yeah. So that's, I mean, it's a movie about Napoleon.
Right.
So you kind of know what you're going to get. So I will say before we get into our reviews that there are lots of historical, if not outright inaccuracies and blatant falsehoods, then fudging of things for dramatical purposes.
Oh, yeah?
I was
unaware of this.
I was...
I thought it was completely accurate.
Ridley Scott has reacted poorly
to
suggestions that he could have made it more historically accurate. I basically went into it just looking at it as a work of fiction, so...
It's a movie. It's Hollywood. I mean,
yeah.
If I want
real life stuff, I'll watch a documentary.
Right.
So I think that if we're going to see a biopic... But I mean, I understand where people are coming from. But anyways, so not to get sidetracked, Dalt, what did you think of Napoleon?
Oh, I thought it was great.
I know he's BSing us, listener, because I was sitting right next to him, obviously, and I heard many heavy sighs.
So the historical stuff, I didn't know specific details. I had heard that there were inaccuracies. You shared some of them with me, Coco. And I got to think that, you know, them being on phones, I just didn't buy it. You know, checking their phones, checking their GPS is like, you know, it would be better because the weather network says that there's a front coming in. So maybe we shouldn't attack.
Maybe we should just send in the drones.
Right. So I was upset with those inaccuracies. Like, does Ridley Scott think that we're idiots, you know?
I mean, I don't know.
And then when they started breaking out the chemical warfare in Russia, I was just about ready to leave. But I, so let's just have a little bit of backstory here, listener, because I know you're really interested in our lives, but we haven't been out to a movie, as Coco said, in a long time together. And I'm just like, let's go do something out of the house. Let's share a cultural experience that's not going to be ballet or something like that.
And this is the one movie that we could both agree on.
Right. Right. Coco wanted to see the Godzilla reboot or whatever it was.
Godzilla Minus One, which has gotten excellent reviews.
And I wanted to see The Holdovers or something like that. And
we settled on Napoleon.
We settled on Napoleon, which is really it's a confluence of both of those when you think about it.
Yeah.
Godzilla,
very... Yeah, Napoleon's laying waste.
Right. And very educated guy, like The Holdovers professor situation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this was the movie we settled on, and... I just want to say that I'm a huge fan of Ridley Scott's dating back to Alien and Blade Runner, obviously, which is probably my favorite movie of all time. So I will pretty much go see anything that he does. And so that fits into this category. But I will say that I forgot how much I don't like Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. So I liked him in the Johnny Cash Story because it was a musical. It was not a musical, but it was about a musical genius, Johnny Cash, a pioneer, a rebel, etc. But I think anybody could have really done that role in some ways, even though he was he got lots of awards and laurels for it.
He won an Oscar for The Joker.
And he won an Oscar for The Joker. So here's where I was going with that, is that after I saw The Joker, I was like, the Joker really kind of creeped me out. It was a really twisted movie, and Joaquin Phoenix was part of that, and so now I'm not really on the Joaquin Phoenix surfboard. However, I was giving him another shot because it's Napoleon, etc. I just don't buy him as Napoleon. I don't buy him the way he was. The first couple of lines he had were extremely wooden in the movie. Like, I thought, oh, there's Joaquin Phoenix acting. And it was a really hard start for me to that movie, because I was also like, is this going to be good or is this going to be terrible? And then it got off to a terrible start. And then as we go along, I just couldn't shake that. So that was one of the reasons that I was doing the heavy sighs, is I was just not buying Joaquin Phoenix's Napoleon. Not that I know what Napoleon really looks like, or any of us do, or what he was like, because it was in the 1740s or whatever, so there's not a lot of even...
1815 was Waterloo, so there
okay,
we go.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
So close enough.
There's not... My point is there's not... he's not on Instagram or anything like that, Napoleon.
That would be... Can you imagine Napoleon on Instagram? Oh, my God.
So that, you know... him doing selfies on the field in Waterloo, like that just took me out of the moment. With the historical...
He's got the selfie stick at the end of his musket.
It really took me out of the moment of it being a historical.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
So, just another example, listener, of why I was lost in this movie, because Joaquin Phoenix and the selfie stick as Napoleon, it just took me right out of the moment. But I really... So there's where I start with what I didn't like about the movie. However, I have more things to offer, as you can imagine, Coco. But I would like to offer the floor to you, so you can either rebut what I said or add to it. It's your choice.
So I actually agree about Joaquin Phoenix. Oh. I don't have the, you know, on the fence feelings about him as you do. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, I don't know if I've seen him enough to... him in enough to like really, you know, care one way or the other. I'm like, oh, I know who he is, and you know, he's fine. Like, mm-hmm. I don't remember any loving or hating him or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the inaccuracies is that apparently he was 35 when he rose to power, and Joaquin Phoenix is actually 49. And he just, I don't know if this is the script or if this is the direction he got or the choices he made, but he was just not very charismatic.
No.
And I imagine that Napoleon had to be pretty freaking charismatic to rise from, you know, like the army to being emperor, and he had to be charming and ruthless. And he would, Joaquin Phoenix was just looked old and dour.
And he looked like he had been in Russia for too long.
Yeah.
Through the whole movie, like not just in the Russia part. He just looked tired.
Yeah. He's been in Russian winters for like about 15 years in this movie.
That's
and
a good
I
point.
Didn't buy this great love story between him and Josephine. Like I didn't, they had chemistry, but it wasn't. I mean, you hear Napoleon and Josephine. It's like one of the world's greatest love stories. And I don't know enough about them to know if it was a great love story. But like the reputation is that it's one of the world's greatest love stories.
And the love letters and everything.
Yeah,
like
and the love letters and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get that sense from this that, you know, they're married and then he's writing her. Why aren't you writing me? And you have a lover. And I didn't think that part. There were a lot of parts of the movie that I didn't think worked, but that was one of them. I just didn't.
It was jarring because it was one moment there was passion, and then I mean, everyday love stories are like that, right? Like you love your partner, and then you have a fight, and then you're mad at your partner. But it just seemed so twisted, and it seemed so incongruous. Like it didn't jive with the rhythm of the movie. Like sometimes they try to plot it so that the rise of the hero coincides with the rise of the love of the woman, you know, and it seemed like it was broken and jarred. It's like, oh, wait a minute, are they together or are they, I know they're married and they're having sex clearly, but how do they feel about each other? Like I just didn't really, that's a really good point because I wasn't getting that vibe from either one of them. It's like, I felt like I would have liked to have seen Joaquin Phoenix as Heathcliff in Wuthering Heights.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to see that. Like, is he tortured because he's away from her? But it just, you know, the letters he was writing were just like, I really do love you, and I can't believe it. And you must know that I am very much in love with you, more than anything in the world. And I was like, oh, even the voiceover is wooden. Like, can we just spice it up a little bit? It just didn't feel tortured enough for me. I don't know. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
What else do you have to say about Napoleon?
So the cinematography, it's a war movie. It was graphic, but it was very gray. I don't know if you noticed the filter.
When
it felt gray to me.
Yeah, when they were in Austerlitz and then at Waterloo and maybe one other time, like the battle scenes were, they were very gray.
Whereas, they felt very washed to me.
Yeah, whereas when he was home in France, it was regular color. So
maybe that was intentional, but at the same time, like, war is gray. I mean, is war gray? I think war is red. Like, war is vibrant. Especially, maybe it was to contrast as like, oh, the home life is beautiful and the war life is gray. I get that. But it just, it really, because there were so many war scenes, it just really washed the movie down for me. It was like, I don't know. I mean, there were the scenes where we're going to get to, I imagine, the lake scenes where the soldiers are falling into the frozen water and it's all blood, like it's the white contrast with the blood and everything like that. I saw that and worked to an extent, but even that still felt a little washed to me. It felt a little muted. And we were in a theater watching this, so this should be theoretically the highest quality visuals. It's not like we were watching it on the Toshiba or whatever, you know, like with the tube, with the tube in the back. You know what I mean? Like it's
one of those 90-pound like wood panel TVs from the 80s.
An RCA. It's like we have an RCA wood cabinet that we're watching this movie on. Like this is supposed to be the best that you can see, the best sound and everything like that, right? And it felt muted to me. It just really felt like it was not as vibrant as it should have been.
I didn't like that filter either. That was not cool. And that scene that Daltz is referring to is also another one of the inaccuracies. Apparently the lake that all of those Austrian soldiers drowned in was actually only 6 inches deep in reality. So they did not drown in it, but apparently I guess they died crossing it. You know, they were sitting ducks, I guess, and you know, got the cannons. So
they weren't like Canadians with their skates on skating across. It's like, oh, geez, eh? Shoot at me, why don't you?
They're not Liam Neeson in his semi, like, you know, driving down the ice road, like, come and get me, Napoleon.
Also a previous episode of Coco and Dulce, the podcast.
Which was amazing, and you should go back and listen to it in the archive if you haven't. So, yeah, I was, do you have anything else specific to add?
No, I want to just react to your comments because I think you're beautiful.
Oh. Aw, see, that's more heartfelt than anything we just saw. I was reminded that Ridley Scott also directed House of Gucci a couple years ago, and I didn't see that in the theater, but I did recently in the past, like, 6 months or so, watch it on Amazon Prime Video. And I read the book before the movie came out, because the movie came out, but because...
You're interested.
I'm interested in fashion, and it's the House of Gucci. And
you're very fashionable.
Yeah, and my yoga pants and my hoodie. And, I mean, that book is bananas, because the history of the House of Gucci is not... The murder is just one part of the history of the House of Gucci. Like, there's a lot of other crazy shenanigans. And the movie only really focused mostly on the murder and that relationship, but... That movie was, like, just so flat.
Oh,
like,
really?
For the wealth of source material that movie had to draw on, and the absolute A-list cast in that movie, it was just really kind of flat and superficial. And it could have either gone, like, really serious and been super Oscar-baity, or it could have, like, embraced the camp and been amazing. And it was just, like, flat, and I didn't love it. And this kind of felt... the same way, like, for the wealth of historical stuff that this movie covered, it was just kind of flat. And I was like, is it over yet?
You know? It's funny you mention that. So it's a 2.5 hour movie. And one of the things about the movie, like I mentioned, is one of the reasons that I went to see it was because of Ridley Scott. However, I've now seen Napoleon. You said that about House of Gucci. There's been a couple of other movies that I've seen by him that were directed by him that I'm wondering if he's lost his fastball because they were just not very good. American Gangster was pretty good. He directed that. There was a couple other ones, but that's 2007. So I'm going back way...
Wow, that's, over 15 years ago.
Yeah, and Gladiator. I mean, we've talked about Gladiator.
But speaking of Joaquin Phoenix.
That was 2000. You know, so when you're looking back at these movies that, you know, resonate, The Martian was good. He directed that. However, the source material, I read the book, The Martian was really good. And he had Matt Damon, who was very charismatic. So that was a sort of happenstance, I think. But I'm just wondering because it's been a long time since I've seen a Ridley Scott movie. And I've been like, that was a good Ridley Scott movie. It just, this one just felt like it was kind of phoned in a little bit by everybody. You know what I mean? Like the Joaquin Phoenix performance was really up and down to me. And like I said, the cinematography, usually a Ridley Scott movie is known for its cinematography. It's dazzling visual effects in some way. And even some of the special effects, maybe it's because I'm seeing them on the big screen and I'm used to seeing them on our Toshiba tube TV in the living room. But some of the special effects to me felt like they were like, oh, I can see the CGI.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, there's the one scene where they're all in the, I think it might be Versailles. There's a scene at the palace, and it just looks like it's not real to me. Like, you can see there was another scene when they're going through the hay. There's a field of hay stacks on either side, and it just looked like it had been sort of sketched a little bit, and then... My good friend Andrew Grant, who is in this industry, might disagree with me, but it just felt a little bit.
You should ask him. You should, like, text him and be like, "Yo, have you seen Napoleon? Like, what do you think?"
Well, he's in the industry, so he's not going to,
He's going to be like, "I love Ridley Scott, baby. He can do no wrong."
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. he's the grandfather. Any other thoughts on Napoleon?
No.
What I liked was when they were getting their divorce. Not to spoil everything. But he was shorter than Josephine, which is probably the way it was in real life. Because Napoleon was a short guy.
Well,
but not like 5'2 or anything like that.
Yeah, probably not. Probably like, 5'10 in skates.
So. And skates, yes. Which he could have used in that lake scene. Totally. Maybe that's what that's why they won that battle, is because he had skates on.
He's skating around the lake with his selfie musket and, you know, look at me.
Skating backwards. Yeah, totally. Skating backwards with the battle scene in the background. Here I am, winning again, eh?
How would you say that in French? You're Canadian.
Oh, that's a great question that you raised.
The accents?
Yes. So, and this is I might be setting it up all incorrectly now. We should have done it at the beginning.
Sorry.
However, I had no idea that Napoleon's English was so good.
I like how, I mean, I was surprised when Joaquin Phoenix didn't bust out with not an American accent, but at the same time, I like that they're just like, yeah, F it.
Yeah.
We're not even gonna, you know, people know that he's not British or French, so, you know, we're not even gonna.
Well, and he was also surrounded by people that had French accents and
British accents.
British accents and yeah. German accents and Austrian accents. That, like, mm-hmm. everybody had an accent, and there's like, there's Joaquin walking in there, you know, with his torn jeans and his and his hat on
he's
backwards.
He's like Zac Efron yeah. in the Zac Efron docuseries.
With his hat on backwards and skateboard. And a hoodie. And he's like, yo, Josephine, what up? You know, like,
I'm a conquer Egypt.
Yeah. What up now? Let's go. Get my posse and roll. Like, what? I don't know. That's probably a stereotypical American dialogue.
And, you know, now that you bring that up, I wonder, so Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara are together IRL, and I wonder Vanessa Kirby, if they gave her that short haircut in the beginning to make her Rooney Mara-esque.
Oh.
I don't know if, I mean, I imagine ladies' hair was cut in French prisons because of lice and also humiliation factors, mm-hmm. but I don't know if that's another historical inaccuracy or if he was just like, I love Rooney and you need to look like my lady.
So that was in his contract? It was like,
maybe.
My leading lady's got to look like my leading lady in life?
I also wonder, there was, him being a noted vegan and animal rights activist, I was very surprised with all the, I mean, this is a Napoleon movie, so there, and this is taking place not today without drones, even though we've been talking about it.
So there weren't vegans in Napoleon's time?
Well, I'm just wondering what if maybe the animal welfare standards were a bit more strict on this movie, because he would not have been into horses, because there was like a big expose several years ago about the whatever name of the company that is that's supposed to look after animal welfare standards on movie sets. You know, they were just like, yeah, whatever, we'll say it's fine. And then, you know, like, you know, horses were, you know, getting legs broken and stuff in battle scenes, and they were like, yeah, we'll sign off on it, we don't care.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there was, these are the things that I also, vegan and animal rights person, wonder about, if he maybe brought the standards up.
So people are getting like slaughtered all over the screen, and you're like worried about the horse that fell down.
Yeah, my grooves.
Because the horse didn't really sign up for it. I mean, the horse is being enlisted in this, whereas the people volunteer, right? Voluntarily are going into war. A movie about a war.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like animals, you know, can't consent. So there
That's
we go.
True. Well, and that even has more gravity, that moment where the horse he rode in on the first battle gets blasted to smithereens by a cannonball, and then he goes and gets the cannonball. And
apparently also a historical inaccuracy.
Right.
Because apparently he did not have a good relationship with his mother, and he got it, and he was just like, for mama, or whatever. And
I thought you were going to say, apparently he didn't have a good relationship with his horse.
I mean, you don't know what's going on the battlefield, man. What? You know?
Right.
You don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like not when, like, in Star Wars where the guy dies and the Tauntaun or whatever he is.
Oh, yeah, the Tauntaun. Like, you know, the slits crouton. Him open. Yeah, the crouton.
The crouton gets cut open and goes in there, and they warm him up with the entrails of the crouton.
I don't even want to think about how bad that smelled.
Yeah.
So what letter grade would you give Napoleon?
Wait a minute. I think you're the letter grade. I'm the number grade.
Okay, yeah, right. So what rating do you give Napoleon?
Out of 10, I would give it...
A 7?
No, this is not a 7. This is like a 4.5.
Goodness.
A 4.5, maybe leaning toward 5 because it's Ridley Scott and because it's an important story. So this is one of the reasons I went to see this, because I love learning accidentally about things. And I thought maybe I might learn a little bit about Napoleon. I mean, we all kind of know the story, right? You know, that he was going into battle with a selfie stick, and got sent away to various islands, various beautiful French islands. You know that.
Can I be exiled?
Yeah,
that'd
right.
be sweet.
And we know that he was a warmonger, and we know about the whole Josephine thing, and we know about his power hunger. But you like to learn the nuances. Well, maybe there was this. Maybe they liked cookies in those days. I don't know. Like, there's things that you want to learn.
I mean, he did say that I really like my meals when she told him he was fat.
He was fat. So, yeah. And by the way, you probably shouldn't. Just a little bit of relationship advice, but if we get in an argument, just don't reply like Josephine said. You are fat. I mean, I can be. I might very well be. But don't, hey, would you clean the oven? You are fat. Oh, it's like, oh, not a very good response.
But now you have a good reply, which is destiny brought me to this cookie. So, because I know you're not going to eat a lamb chop. So destiny brought me to this cookie. That is your response now forever.
That should actually be my tattoo. My next tattoo will
yes.
be destiny brought me to this cookie. And then a picture of Cookie Monster.
But in French.
But in French.
Yeah, make it fancy.
Le biscuit. It'll be much more beautiful.
It'll be fancy.
Un destiny avec...
Cookie.
Le biscuit. So I gave my number grade. What out of 26 letters do you offer up, Coco? Oh, you're doing a concentration face.
I might give it a C-.
What's your lowest ever? You gave something an F, didn't you? Or a D-plus or something?
I just went back and listened to... our Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie podcast.
Which got a huge bunch of hits, by the way.
And I gave that like a D-. I think I also gave Wonder Woman 1984 a D-.
Okay.
I think there have been various times when I've given things D-.
So this is above those.
This is above those, but like not by much. Maybe even a D+. Like what, C-, D+, like in that range.
What did it for you? What was the ultimate decider? Other than 2.5 hours and getting a numb bum.
There were a lot of dogs in it. like
in a good way?
In a good way. Like
they weren't being eaten or anything?
No,
like
Josephine carried around a Pomeranian at one point.
Right,
I like that.
Right.
So there
was the German Shepherd who was in one of the palaces.
I don't remember seeing that one.
Yeah,
but then
that was me.
I think whatever King replaced Napoleon was also carrying around like a little poodle or shih tzu or something.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a lot of dogs.
So you were good with the dog quotient.
Yeah.
We should start a whole new podcast, like good for dogs, bad for dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. These
Coco and dogs.
Yes. That's the next podcast. That's the spinoff pod.
Because we're fielding offers as we speak.
How do we not have a deal?
I have no idea.
Meghan and Harry got a podcast deal that they did 12 episodes for and then they got dropped. Like, we've got like 180 episodes.
And they're good.
And we have output.
Right. We do. And we have results.
We do.
We've done one a year for the past year.
You're not sitting here talking to a producer and then they're going to splice my voice in later.
Right.
Like, this is us.
This is who we are. We're sitting at the dining room table in suburban Connecticut.
We are a lean, mean podcasting machine.
Portable. We will go to Fiji for a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Exile in Fiji.
Exile with our selfie sticks upon our muskets.
And our non-attack dog, German Shepherd.
I don't know about that. Okay. Anything else to offer up, Coco?
Nah, I think we've pretty much covered everything. We're staring down the barrel of 30 minutes.
I know.
This is one of our longest podcasts.
Thanks for getting this far, listener. We missed you.
We did.
And we trust you.
We hope to be back again much sooner than a year from now.
If we see something that we think might be funny to do a podcast, or if you see something that you think might be a good podcast for us, dial us up at, what's our address again? CocoAndDalts@gmail.com.
Yes.
And
we're also on Facebook. You can send us a message on Facebook.
That is true.
Coco
and also
and Dalts.
The Twitter/X or whatever we have.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're on that too.
An account. I don't know how active that is. We'll have to talk to the social media director and see what the story is.
I think I just retweeted a couple of our old episodes.
Yeah.
So
we're a thing again, listener. So thanks for sticking with us. And for those of you out there who don't know who we are, this is who we are. So please follow us and go back and listen to all the funny episodes that we've done because they're pretty funny.
They are, for sure.
For another episode of the podcast, thanks for joining us, listener. I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Dalts.